Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello everyone, it is Redmen News and this is your daily dose of Liverpool news. I am Paul Mitch and I'm joined by Ross Chanley, who got very uncomfortable when I said the word dose there, but that's another story for another day. anyway, right, we're going to dive into the Liverpool news. There's some interesting stuff obviously pertaining to the Carabao Cup game against Aston Villa and obviously how we're going to balance things with the Club World Cup as well. John Aldridge has been talking about Roberto Firmino, Jamie Carragher has been talking about Trent Alexander-Arnold, and there's a boost ahead of Liverpool's Napoli game with an injury to an opponent. Stay tuned for all that. But yes, this week we are partnered with the Liverpool Gin Experience. You can get your own bottle, plus four or five of Liverpool Gin teas each for us. You know what, Ross, you do this. You know this better than I do.
You can get your own bottle, plus four or five gin and tonics whilst you're making the actual gins. It's normally £65, but for you lovely subscribers, viewers and watchers of Redmen News, it's £39.99, an incredible present for someone you love this Christmas, or maybe someone you don't love. Just use the Redmen TV Xmas, all capital letters, on LiverpoolGinDistillery.com and go and book your experience today.
Absolutely. The offer ends on the 31st of the 12th, 19, but you can book it for after Christmas as well. And this is, I think it's just Chris's words, that it's a boss night out. Trust me. Was that you who wrote that?
No.
Chris?
But it is, though.
This is the point, because you just went and did it, and you had a boss, yeah. And you did have a boss time.
Yeah.
But I can't say boss night out. Trust me, because I haven't done it. So I was wondering whether it was you or Chris.
No, it was Chris. But if you're not sure, there's a video on the main Redmen channel. We did it with Bruce Grobler and a couple of competition winners. It is a really good
time. It did
time,
actually
yeah.
look
I'm actually not really into good. Gym, but the fact you get to make it, to taste it, they give you like, you know, experience on what you should and shouldn't do, what things you shouldn't mix and stuff, and you get to taste it at different stages. One of it was like 80%. Like, yeah. Let's just put it on your finger and you're smashed.
So. That's a work day.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Make sure you go to LiverpoolGinDistillery.com/experiences and use Redmen TV Xmas as your code for that. Anyway, we're nearly at 25,000 subscribers on this channel as well. So if you're watching live, make sure you subscribe. We're like 18 away. I'll get it up in a second so we can see what the live count is. But yeah, let's move things on then, Ross. First and foremost, the Times put this article out yesterday from Paul Joyce. That Klopp will take Liverpool to the Club World Cup in Qatar and leave reserve coach in charge for the Carabao Cup quarter-final, which means, Liverpool under-23 coach Neil Critchley set to take charge of the team to face Aston Villa in the Carabao Cup quarter-final the night before we launch the bid for the European champions to win the Club World Cup. There'd been a bit of speculation over this, hadn't there, because there was a talk about it being Barry Lutas could have been a shout for this. Pep Linders, do you leave Pep Linders behind? Or Alex Inglethorpe was also touted as well. But it makes perfect sense for it to be Critchley, because he's the next in line. Look, from what I gather, the Club World Cup is going to be the main focus. And it should be, because it's something Liverpool have never won. And it's obviously, you don't, and I think Klopp used the expression, like, you've got to win the Champions League to win it. So you don't get these opportunities too often, regardless of whether people think it's a particularly prestigious tournament or not. And I don't think leaving your assistant manager at home, who's obviously has a big hand in the preparations for games, would have been a great idea.
Yeah, I think when I first saw Pep Linders do a press conference a couple of weeks ago, I think everybody, or a lot of people, including myself, kind of went, oh yeah, I'd love him to go and do that role. But then you forget, like you just said, how important he is to the role and supporting the players, and how vital he is, you know, in the dressing room and working with the first team players. You've obviously made a decision to just take the first team and play the kids at the Carabao Cup. So you're right, it makes sense. Neil Crutchley knows those players. He knows the system. He knows how they play. He knows their strengths. He knows their weaknesses. So in that sense, you know, why wouldn't you go and do that? And not only that, it's also, I've said this over the past week and stuff, even if the kids lose, it's a great experience for them.
Yeah.
But equally, it's a good experience for Neil Critchley as well to go and take a quarterfinal of the Carabao Cup.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm a fan with that.
Yeah, and it is a real shame because of the way that Linders has been building up to all this, I would have liked him to have that opportunity for the similar thing, because I don't necessarily know where Critchley's future lies and all this kind of stuff. Like, but no, at least we know, and it means there's a bit more clarification. We're going to start to see a few more things clarified, I think. In the coming days. So yeah, very interesting stuff, and an answer to a question we want to know. Jamie Carragher's been talking about Trent Alexander-Arnold. This is on thisisanfield.com. We're getting this from. It's actually quite a long conversation. Carragher's obviously had, I think he was on Monday Night Football.
It's last night.
And he talked about the very basic flaw that is Trent Alexander-Arnold's biggest problem. And he basically talks about him tracking back. People have talked about Trent's defensive frailties is a word, but I think I'm over-egging it a bit there. But you know, it's the one criticism. People are trying to look for things, I think, to pick holes in Trent. I see it from opposition fans when they talk about every club seems to have a young right back at the moment and a young English right back, and they're all like made up with them, and they want it, and so everything they say is like, well, look what he can do, but also he can defend as well, as though, you know, as though Trent can't defend. But I thought it was interesting analysis from Carragher, because he basically says that it's a lack of urgency in tracking back. So Trent loses the ball, he's in a fight with Zahar, and it's tough. My biggest problem right now with Trent is you have to sprint back, but he's jogging. And he made mention of a couple of times that he's seen it this season and a goal last year at Arsenal as well. I'll be honest, it's not something I've ever really thought of as being a weakness for Trent. But
not really. I think, I don't know if I agree with it, to be honest with you, because I think you have to, because he's so good going forward, does he want to goose himself tracking back? You know, if he goes forward, it's someone else's job to then fill that role in for him, you know, a Henderson to track back and, you know, and defend him. I feel like where Trent's supposed to be. So it's all right saying you'll sprint back,
yeah.
But then getting towards the last stage of the games where we seem to be winning games at this point, and he's a vital role in that, of, you know, getting further up the field and putting the ball in. Mm-hmm. But he's going to get to the 85th minute and he's knackered because he's sprinting, jogging back, but it's someone else's role.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's a bit of both, I don't
know. No, I agree. And Carragher talks about the trade-off between attack and defence, and obviously you don't want to undo the good things he's doing. But I'll trust the Carragher's analysis on this, because he must have looked at it, but it's not something that I've noticed about his game. I think Trent's defensive work is covering, I think, has been outstanding so far this season. The amount of goals that he's saved us by nipping in behind, being the last man.
Box, yeah.
Exactly, defending the 6-yard box. And now it's a different set of circumstances from when you've committed everything to attack and then you're having to go back the other way. I'm going to make an effort, actually. I'm going to make a distinct effort to watch this and see if this is true or not. Or, it might be a reaction. Maybe he won't do it now because it's been highlighted or whatever. But it's not something that I saw as a weakness in Trent's game. I thought his commitment to tracking back was pretty good. But to your point, and I think to Carragher's point, Mo Salah doesn't track back. So you can't have Trent not track back as well. You're asking even more of the midfielder, who already has to basically do Salah and to some extent Mane and Firmino. You know, they're asked to do the dirty work for the team. If Trent's not doing it, I can't think that it's... I don't know. I don't see that there's anything in this side that isn't by design.
Yeah. Maybe it's nothing. That Robbo does better as well. Or Robbo and Mane. Or Mane, Robbo and Genie, on that side.
Yeah, perhaps. Interesting one. Let me know your thoughts on that. We'll come to some comments a little bit later on. John Aldridge has told Firmino, a centre forward has to score goals, which is dynamite analysis, of course. But apparently, being a centre forward, he has to score goals, which is right. I like Aldo, but I don't know. Let's go a bit depth into this. He's told Liv Palejo, great to see Firmino end the run of 7 league games without a goal, which feels like ghostwriter talk to me, if I'm being perfectly honest. He has a lot of aspects to his game, and he's not a goal-scoring striker. Sorry to lift the curtain on the echo of new things. But being a centre-forward, he has to score goals. I know what it's like as a striker when you lose your confidence in front of goal and you need a bit of luck to get it back. I think after Saturday, that will have done him the world of good, and we will start to see more goals from Bobby in the coming weeks. I actually agree. To be perfectly honest, me and Ben were talking about this at the weekend. I think his goal scoring's dropped off a little bit, and I think you can't help it. Look, he had the two top goal scoring forwards in the Premier League, you know, two or three, alongside him last season, and his output was great. He plays a lot of football. He's been playing even more football since then. I think there has been a little tail off. I don't think he's been as bright in the last month. And I think I look at the chance against Crystal Palace when he's one-on-one and he tries to toe it. That's the kind of goal that Aubameyang finishes. And look, he's not Aubameyang. And he's a much better fit for our system than Aubameyang. And I'm not expecting Firmino to become a 30-goal-a-season centre-forward. But I want to see him just be a little bit more clinical. And this is, you know, this is looking at like dents in our Ferrari at the moment, to be fair. But if you're looking to get a little bit more and more and more and more out of this side, for me, I think goal scoring from Firmino is a really easy fix.
Yeah, I think he can bypass it sometimes because his work rate is so good and because he's the pass before the pass, or, you know, he creates so much. But at those times, I think he's probably highlighted from Crystal Palace. Not just be more clinical, but to put games to bed. Because that game probably should have been done and dusted. But if he scores that goal, I think Mane has another chance as well. Mm-hmm. And he's just thinking, you know, because we're getting so close to, you know, 2-1 wins all the time, or we're getting pegged back and scoring late winners, it's probably a call just get the game done and just stop us shitting ourselves week in, week out.
It's true. And I love the verve with which Firmino started the season, and, you know, all the little tricks and flicks and trying audacious goals. They've not come off. You know, the tricks and flicks up, but the goals haven't come off. And I wonder whether there's just that goal at the weekend was exactly the type of goal that you want him scoring, to be honest. You know, if he's going to play in the nine, whether it's false nine or whatever, that's his area of the pitch between the lines of the goal frame. And
oddly, that's a harder finish, the goal he scored, because he had about 10 people on the floor in front of him.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's left-footed, isn't it? And he puts it across into the bottom corner. It's a very good striker's finish, that, which he deserves credit for. But I just want to see a few more. I think, not like he's even been accused, he can be accused of pulling the strings a bit too much. I just think he's been a little bit lacklustre. But, you know, everyone goes through, you know, dips in the season and what have you. And I expect great things from Firmino this season. I think we all do. But I don't think Aldo's wrong per se. But I think it's also it's a slightly simplistic point of view, isn't it? Anyway, Liverpool have handed a boost ahead of the Champions League clash with Napoli. Lorenzo Insigne has been ruled out. He came off injured by just an hour in the 1-1 draw with AC Milan at the weekend, but picked up an elbow injury. And Serie A side have confirmed he'll play no part in the clash at Anfield. This is from the Liverpool Echo. They have been able to include Fabio Ruiz and Fauzi. Fauzi? Goulam, yes, in their squad for the encounter, despite both missing training on Monday. No Insigne makes me happy.
It does, but you've got to be careful of other strike force that they've got in their team. But yeah. I know, it was the former Tottenham player who came on and scored, I can't remember his name.
Oh, yeah, Llorente.
Yeah, Fernando Llorente. So you're not sure. It's mad, actually, because, you know, there's loads going on at Napoli at the minute. I think the chairman's in trouble for all sorts, and the form's terrible, and losing Insigne as well.
You know what the thing is? I was like, what could that be? And you're right, and without knowing the story,
he's been fined like €2.5 million.
Oh, well. Yeah. But I mean, what it could be for, it could be for anything. Yeah. I mean, like, it's probably for something very, like I say, legitimate, a normal thing, but because we've seen everything ranging from Italian chairman, from sex scandals down to tax evasion through to match fixing.
And racism as well.
Everything, like, you know what I mean? Yeah, great. Look, say, I imagine they think seventh in the league at the moment, aren't they? It's not going very well for Ancelotti, and there's talking here about how he was linked to Tottenham Hotspur, but they decided they couldn't afford him, which is mad when you think, obviously, at least, I mean, you're not paying a contract off with Mourinho, but Mourinho ain't no cheap manager, but there you go.
Maybe Everton can do it with the Arteta money. Or maybe not.
Yeah, well, they have to spend that on Sack and Silver, aren't they, thing. But no, he's so good, and he's been so good against us. I find it mad that he's that old. It's amazing that he's been around at 28 years old.
He's also one of those strikers, and we saw this last season, where he doesn't need that much of a sniff in a game. He just needs one opportunity in the last minute, and he can put a goal in. So good.
Yeah, we're going to take your comments in a moment, but lastly, something you just pointed our attention towards before we started filming. BBC Merseyside Sport have tweeted this. Martin Atkinson will take charge of the game against Brighton on Saturday, while Craig Pawson will be on VAR. You didn't tell me Craig Pawson was going to be on VAR duties, Ross.
Yeah, and Martin Atkinson's on VAR for the Everton game.
Fuck's sake.
I don't know, are we still in the job?
How? Oh my God, he's going to have his wonky Crayolas out, isn't he, for the VAR, for that, like, oh, and look, there's the offside line, woo! Like my three-year-old trying to write a name, up, down and around. That's not great news. Martin Atkinson's crap, Craig Pawson's crap.
Never heard of Graham Scott.
I've never heard of Graham Scott, maybe he's the next great thing.
Or Simon Hooper.
Or Simon Hooper, yeah, never heard of any of those people, but there you go, Martin Atkinson. Joy. Joy, oh joy. Yeah, as highlighted then, we are on a 24.9K. So it was about 18 subscribers away from 25,000 at time recording. So if you're watching this live, do click that subscription button and the notification bell to be notified when we go live with all of these things. And of course, we'll remind you of the Liverpool Gin Code in a moment. But yeah, Tom, comments for us, please.
Yes. So on the title of the video, Dan the Man says, it makes perfect sense. It's going to be his players playing the game anyway. And then Sidney says, it'll be a wonderful opportunity for the likes of Elliot Jones, Bruce Delarucci, an absolute no pressure game.
It was funny. So I was at the Football Writers Association Awards on whatever night. God, I've lost the day. Sunday night. And Klopp was there and whatever. And they showed Barry Lutus's under. He won an award for the under 18s winning the Youth Cup. And they showed a goal from, a goal from Larucci, and Klopp was watching it and watching them like buzzing off, watching the highlights of the kids and stuff. And it got me thinking about this, is that you've got this crop of young lads, and we've seen so many of them used so far. But I agree with that, you know, for Neil Critchley, he's the linchpin. He'll have had, you know, the best of the under 18s will have played in the 23s, and some of the lads who are maybe on the fringes, who we might choose. So we might choose to say Jaden Jacquiri stays behind, or we might choose for Lallana, or the odd here or there, who will have also been playing probably on the fringes because they'd be getting back to fitness or whatever. So he'll have had a good wide ranging experience with these lads. So I agree. I think it's a sensible point.
Yeah. Even as I said, like I said before, even if they lose this, then it's massive for those youngsters of going to Villa Park, you know, an historic ground. It's massive in a quarter final of a Carabao Cup. Mm. Even if you lose sound, just learn from it and take something away from it.
100%. And worst case scenario, he's actually winning it at this point, isn't it? I've been looking, we've just been doing the schedule for December and going into January, and it's like, oh, look, this starts to ease off. It's like, no, you've got FA Cup in there. Oh, is that a free midweek after that? No, that's where the first leg of the Carabao Cup semi-final will be. So I do want Liverpool to get through, but if they do, I would just play. If this team, if a team of children managed by our basically third choice manager at the club is able to do this, then I would just give it the rest of the competition to them, and I'd have the open top bus tour with nothing but them. Yeah, I'd have Klopp drive the bus. Yeah. That's his penalty. He'd have to pay for it. But
with all those games, it's a great time to start your 3 month trial, isn't it?
Just to the redmentv.com/. Join, I think it is, or it used to be. Get over there. We've got loads of amazing content. We've got an exclusive interview with Chris Kirkland. We've got an exclusive interview with Robbie Fowler, which is available in podcast form, which is something a bit different for us. That is exclusively a podcast, and it's great. And we've got, at the moment, we're just finalising a little agreement to get one Emil Heskey in as well in the coming weeks as well. So, yeah, plenty of time. But the best time really now to get subscribed. Just a reminder then before we go, once again, the Liverpool Gin stuff is liverpoolgindistillery.com/experiences and use the code REDMENTV. Xmas, presumably because Christmas was just too much.
Too generic, isn't it?
Yeah, Xmas. As I say, you can get on this gym making experience. It usually costs £65, but you can get it for £39.99 with that code. And if you want to see how the lads got on with it, the video's on the main Redmen TV YouTube channel as well. Anyway, thank you very much. We've filled enough of your day today with largely filler news and sponsorship. So on your way, we'll be back here tomorrow with more of the same as we build up towards Liverpool and Napoli. Other than that, thank you very much. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.